Hey guys, what is going on? Welcome to a special episode of the BFG Podcast. We're recording 2 weeks in a row, although we only have one topic to discuss today.
And not that it really makes a difference for you guys because of our uploading schedule.
Yes.
But for us, it's a big deal.
We wanted to make sure we get this one out quick. You know, it's a big thing right now. And we are going to talk about... I don't have a joke to make right off the bat because I just want to talk about it. We're talking about Captain Marvel. Not Marvel, Marvel. That's what we're going to talk about today. For those of you who don't know, the first Marvel movie of 2019 just released this past Friday. This is Sunday the 10th. Happy Mario Day, by the way, Tyler.
Thank you.
Yes. So we're going to be talking about Captain Marvel today. And both of us saw it. And like tradition, we have not really talked about it to each other. You're going to get the live
reactions. Aside from... Mike could not resist telling me what he thought of the credit sequence.
Yes, and we're going to keep this spoiler-free to minor spoilers, at least as much as I can.
Spoiler-free.
And
if there are spoilers, I will censor him.
Okay, well, I'm going to do my best to not put extra work on Tyler.
Yes, please, so, please do your best.
Yes. I really enjoyed this movie, and as I was telling Tyler before we sat down and record, maybe at first I thought a little too much of it. And,
okay.
You know, I let some thoughts settle.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say this is in my top six. I'm going to go right out there and say it. And I could be biased. I think I told you this before and to the people who know me, my friends. I'm a stickler for the 90s. And, you know.
That's true.
And it takes place in the 90s.
I didn't really take that into account with you.
So that could be a little of the bias coming out. But it does take place in the 90s. So like the first scene when she's on Earth was like smacks you right in the face. I'm not gonna say what happened, but I'm sure it's already all over the internet. But so Ted, I have to bleep it out. I'm not gonna tell you where she landed. Just the whole movie from start to finish, I really got a kick out of. I really liked how it was progressed, what she had to do. Tyler, help me out here. I don't want to keep going because we're gonna bounce off of each other.
So. It does play real hard on the 90s nostalgia.
Yes.
It's kind of a love letter to another generation that we've left at this point.
Yes, absolutely. And
it does that pretty well. But it follows, for better or for worse, it follows the comics.
Oh, yes.
Like, obviously, it's more or less an original story, you know, beyond the origin stories you've heard about Captain Marvel before. But it's very much like standard like origin story, almost like paint by numbers origin story.
I will give you that it is a little bit like that paint by numbers, which is why I kind of like when my thoughts set a little bit, it kind of just played out. But I think for just how important she's going to be coming up into Endgame and just in general into the MCU. And, of course, all sorts of theories are going around now. This obviously isn't a spoiler to that, but the end of Infinity War, when Nick Fury pulled out his pager to call for her, people started thinking, where was she before? Why was she not called for the first Avengers movie or Age of Ultron, anything like that? Or if she's out in the galaxy somewhere, how come she might not have run into the Guardians, anything? So... this as an origin story to kind of get her shown into the universe, which even though she is, you know, really big, she wasn't one of the main... I mean, she was one of the main ones in the comic, in the Infinity War and everything comic as well. But into what they're trying to portray at the 10-year anniversary, it was an origin story to me done right. Yeah, it was paid by numbers. Yeah, she kind of figured out some things here and there. But you got to have a movie like that, especially because this one takes place before, you know... Iron Man, and I think the only one that took place technically before this is the first Captain America movie, since that took place in the 40s, I want to say,
yeah.
Right? And then this, and that's when Fury says a quote, which I don't want to say because I don't know how deep Tyler's going to hit me for spoilers, but it was very good to me. I really, really enjoyed this story. I really enjoyed Brie Larson as Captain Marvel. I won't say Captain America. That wouldn't be right.
Shazam?
Yes, that's coming
the original
next month.
Captain Marvel?
The original Captain Marvel. Next month we'll talk about that one. I'm really, don't bring DC into my Marvel talk. You know, but just the whole setting, the sets looked fantastic. Just everything about it, like, screamed 90s okay, to me.
I'll give you that. Sets looked really good.
Yes.
CGI was hot garbage.
This CGI wasn't.
My gosh. Like, okay, maybe I'm being a little bit too harsh, but Marvel has set a certain standard for themselves.
Absolutely.
And my goodness, were there some bad CGI moments in this movie?
I'll definitely say that, especially coming off of things like Guardians of the Galaxy, which uses a lot of CGI.
There is
all of them do.
Yeah, I mean, well, and I mean, like, those look really good. And even in this movie, they've digitally de-aged Samuel L. Jackson.
He does look straight out of the 90s.
And he looks amazing.
He does.
They have de-aged him, like, brilliantly. It's like, it's kind of, it's like some sort of, you know, like, witchcraft that they've pulled to make it look this good.
Absolutely.
And then you put it next to, like, the scenes where she's, like, floating just look like an early 2000s CG movie.
There are a few scenes like that where I was just like, really?
It's bad.
That was not good. That was one of the things that kind of hindered it a little bit for me, and I know that's kind of neither here nor there, because then I could flip it and talk about one of the main fight scenes, and I thought that was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't fantastic, but I thought it was really good, the fight, beforehand, before she started, like, flying and whatnot, but no, I mean, I definitely see that, and yeah, when she's kind of out in space floating around, it does look like maybe a little rushed, like maybe it was supposed to be something else that they had to cut, but they still needed her doing this, so...
And there's a CG cat that's just as bad.
Yeah.
Like, the cat was real in some parts, and then they made him CG for other parts, and it was just not good.
That did not, yeah, I mean... I can sit here and blast the CG, which, you know, obviously, as much as I enjoyed the movie, you know, I will say, yeah, the CG was not very good at all.
And like I said, I think if it was another movie, it would have been fine.
But not for something like this.
If they were making another Smurfs movie, this would have been good CG.
Yes.
But for a Marvel movie like 11 years in now, it's not good.
No, and... You know, I always think about things like Guardians of the Galaxy, Doctor Strange, and how good those look.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm kind of like wondering, I was like, what happened here? So, CG aside, I thought Brie Larson was great as Captain Marvel. I really did.
I can't even get on board with that.
Really?
She was okay. The dialogue was a little bit shoddily written. There was some of it that was clumsy. And we'll get to, like, the predictability of it in a minute. But it felt clumsily written. She did... I mean, I guess she did her best with what they gave her. But it felt, like, timed weird. I feel like there were jokes and quips and one-liners, just like every Marvel movie, that should have landed really well, that just kind of didn't. And I don't know if it was because of the way it was written or because of the way she was acting them out. But it didn't quite... I don't know. Like I said, I'm struggling to really tell if it's Brie Larson or if it was the way it was written, but it did not work for me. She was not a likable hero the way that a lot of Marvel's heroes end up being for me.
Well, you see, I was reading something actually the other day, which obviously this I don't agree with because the internet is a terrible place and we are in a terrible time right now where...
And we are part of it.
And we are definitely part of it. And people were kind of getting on Brie Larson's Captain Marvel for being a man-hater throughout the movie. And it's like...
We talked... So, a week or two ago, we had talked... It was during the Lego movie. During the Lego movie episode... We talked about Chris Pratt and how people were, like, looking for controversies to bring up because he's, you know, because of his faith and because of his divorce and stuff like that. They're, like, they're digging real deep trying to, you know, make a controversy out of just this dude's normal life, basically. And I kind of have the same thing with Brie Larson right now. I've liked Brie Larson in almost everything I've seen her in. I think she was really good in Room. She was really good in Scott Pilgrim. She was really good in Kong. She had a bit part as one of the girlfriends in Community, stuff like that. And it's like, I've always liked her. I never come away thinking, you know, like, oh, she's not a good actress or anything. And in this one, it didn't work for me. So I'm thinking it's at least partially got to be because of the writing, because I've liked her before in most of the stuff I've seen her in. But they made such a big deal out of, and it wasn't even like, it wasn't a comment about like not liking, you know, men or anything like that. She made a comment about how like, this movie isn't just for white males. This movie is for everyone that wants to see it or something like that. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, these just crazy people started coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, well, if you don't want people like me at your movie, then we won't be there. And it's like, that's not at all what she said. No. Why are you doing this? Stop being this person.
Because internet, that's why.
It makes me so mad that people are like that now. And one of them, what's the guy? You wouldn't know.
Three things. He's probably right.
The actor from Videodrome.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, it's an actor, and he's a little bit older now. Because, you know, Videodrome was, I think, like 80s. Mm-hmm. So I'd say he's probably like in his 60s or something now. But he had like really strong words about like, you know, her kind of actress and how, you know, he was going to boycott the movie and all this. Like, he like really strongly worded. And I'm like, you're a fellow like actor. You should be like, you know, supporting people. You know, it's like even within Hollywood, there's like all these schisms and everybody hates each other. And it's just, it's all bad. And so I don't buy into that. I think that was completely overblown and really silly. And especially, the movie was like about a powerful female lead, but I don't think they kind of went heavy-handed with the message, about like female empowerment and stuff like that. That part didn't even bother me that much. I don't care about that. You know, it's like, it's the same with Zootopia. Zootopia is one of the most heavy-handed, like, message films that I've ever seen. It's still an enjoyable Disney movie. I don't really care about, like, you know, the message films, and I didn't really have a problem with that in Captain Marvel. And I think people are just... It's silly. It's all
people,
silly.
People are going to find things to complain about, and I had this worry last year with Black Panther. I know we somewhat touched on this, talked about it, whether on the show or, you know, you and I just chatting. Mm-hmm. Is that I always said that if people didn't like Black Panther, they're not going to not like it because the movie wasn't good, but because it starred an African-American lead hero.
Right.
And I don't want to say people are now doing this with a female powerful lead. And yeah, was the movie perfect? Not by any means. I mean, I really enjoyed it. But again, I mean, you really enjoyed Aquaman and it really wasn't for you. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But for something like this, this is kind of the things that I look out for. And especially maybe because people who've read the comics, who know the comics, and I honestly want to say now, with Marvel being what it is, owned by Disney, the biggest company in the world, mm-hmm. a lot of the people who are going to see these movies now, Tyler, I don't think have read the comics. At least, possibly even... I don't even know if I want to say half or more than half.
Right.
Because it's like, you know, when they first started coming out, even if you weren't a comic book reader, people knew who Iron Man was, who Hulk was. Mm-hmm. But then when they started getting more popular, I mean, if you think about it, like Ant-Man and the Wasp. Ant-Man was a big part in the comic on the Infinity War, but he's like a C-lister, B-C-lister person. The yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy, I know we talked about this, the Guardians of the Galaxy that we have is not even the main Guardians of the Galaxy in the comic. And even yeah. the comic one is like a C-lister. Mm-hmm. So we got like a D or E here, group of ragtag people.
Yes.
It's like nobody knows about them. Mm-hmm. You know,
they do now.
They definitely do now. And that's kind of the things that I look at where it's like, you know, if you go on the DC side of things, you have Batman, Superman, you know, Wonder Woman. Those are your three main. When people say superheroes just in general, mm-hmm. like not even say give me three Marvel, give me three, they're going to say Batman, Superman. Guarantee those are going to be like the
yeah.
first two that are going to come up.
Yeah.
You know, for something like this, for Captain Marvel, it's just, it's completely different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want people to look at this and be like, oh, well, it's a female lead. She's just... oh, powerful and hating on all men and whatnot. No, that's not the thing here. It was an origin story that, you know, Marvel isn't putting everything in order and then they're going to, you know, say, well, this is the timeline of what happened,
yeah,
or how you should watch the movie. It's like Star Wars, essentially. Do you watch it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Or do you watch it 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9?
Yeah.
It's something like and that.
They're all a product of their time.
Absolutely.
The movies are a product of their time, and the comics were a product of their time. I mean, it's the same with, you know, when Superman premiered, he was a vision of hope in a time where they really needed that. And I think Captain Marvel, the time when the comic was being released, and then now we're kind of in a similar climate where, you know, female empowerment is like a really big deal, like politically and stuff.
Absolutely.
And I think it's kind of like prime time for this kind of movie right now, because this is you know, kind of a hot button topic, and you know it's gonna be more popular now than maybe it would have been even 5 or 10 years ago when the cinematic universe was a little bit younger.
Yeah, and that's the thing that really gets me. Are people just not enjoying this movie because they honestly didn't like it, or is it because of the female lead that's like, I hate all men?
Yeah,
because that's the time we're now. If Marvel just, or Disney and Marvel just took a chance and released them in order, if they did Captain America, the First Avengers, the first MCU movie, then Captain Marvel in 2008, 2009, would people see it differently then compared to in 2019 when so much has changed over 10 years?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something to also think about in that one. But for me, I didn't look at it as something like that. I looked at it as one of the most powerful characters that the MCU has that is needed to essentially stop Thanos, who already did his snap. Sorry if you haven't seen Infinity War yet, but I'm pretty sure you're not going to bleep that one out.
At this point, you know, once we get far enough out from the movies, it's
almost a year out.
All fair in war and
love.
Warcraft.
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft.
Okay. So, to me, that was one of the big things. And, you know, everybody's going to have their opinion. Tyler and I seem to have switched today. I really enjoyed this. It really wasn't for Tyler. That's fine.
So, getting back to, like, the movie itself, so on top of the points I've made, I feel like it was... I mentioned how it's kind of paint by numbers. It's very predictable. Not even like, as far as, you know, origin story predictable, but I'm talking like almost like cliche predictable. Like there were times where we were watching the movie and a character would say something and I'd be like, I can already tell you the response. In my head, I was already like, I bet this is what they're going to say. And almost like word for word. I could like recite the script like before it was even spoken. Like it was extremely by the numbers, to the point that like the script felt like, you know, quotable even before I had heard the script.
Yeah, and I'll give you that as well, but the one thing that I really enjoyed from it, at least I don't think they did this in any other MCU, it was like, I don't really know how to say it without spoiling it, so I'm going to try to, and if I catch myself, or if Todd, if you catch me starting to slip, please tell me to stop. Yeah, really. He just tried to hit me, for those of you listening. So where it starts out, where Verse, because that's how she's introduced to us, which I'm not going to explain why. You know, I caught myself on that
Veers.
One. Veers. Verse. Yeah, Veers. Sorry, I'm already screwing up my own movie. She starts with something. Then there's the quote-unquote plot twist, which you can kind of see coming. And then it's a complete change. So at least it's not the stereotypical, we're starting here, ending here, we beat the bad guy, blah, blah, blah. At least,
yeah,
even though it is predictable, at least there's something a little different in there. At least to me. Is it enough to save the whole movie and give us a big plot twist? No. I think, and you and I will talk about this when we get to the end, is the end credit scene I thought was a nice twist because we all knew it was coming.
No.
We just didn't know when. Shut up. No, we just didn't know. You didn't know. I didn't know. Yeah, was it the greatest end credit scene ever? No, but at
least... You told me it was. When we were sitting in the theater,
I told you.
You said, I think that was one of the best credit scenes I've ever seen.
I said one of the best. It's not the best.
It was such an obligatory moment.
It was.
Not, I can't say what the credit scene was.
No.
But this was not a credit sequence. This was a sequence that should have been in the movie, and they decided to save it for the credit sequence instead. And that, it did not pay off for me.
And I'll say,
there is no reason that should have been in the credits. That should have been, like, a part of the ending of the movie.
And I will say this, and I will add this part to it. Yes, I agree with you on that part, but at least now, with that end credit scene, it'll kind of tell us where we're going as soon as Endgame ends up.
Yeah.
That's the part that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Because you just didn't know, and I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm watching myself, I'm getting pumped up now talking about it. But no, that's the... Yes, does that end credit scene need to be part of the first one, at least? There's two end credit scenes. Need to be part of the base movie? Yeah, probably it would have done better. But at least now that when I sit down in my seat for this freaking 3.5-4 hour Endgame movie, probably going to wear Depends, Tyler, so just so you're aware of that one, unless they do give us an intermission, I'll at least have a general idea of how this is going to start. And that is something to me that gets me even more hyped up for this Pit of Despair that we're going to go into after waiting a freaking year for this damn movie.
So...
Yes.
The next thing... I've kind of been crapping all over this movie.
And I haven't. Are we sure we're not talking a Marvel or a DC movie? Because this is, like, really weird.
I liked Jude Law a lot. Jude Law's character was... Again, the writing was a little bit shoddy.
Mm-hmm.
The writing was sloppy. Jude Law took that sloppy writing and went ham with it.
Mm-hmm.
He did as much as he could. And I felt like I really liked him in his role, even if it wasn't as strongly written.
That's how you know you got a good actor.
Conversely, there is a child actor that has no right being a child actor. Like, even by child actor standards, it was rough.
And this is nothing against the actress at all. You know, I'm sure she's great, but she is very young. But it is kind of one of those things. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So a part of it is acting ability. And I'm sure, you know, I mean, you know, she's probably, what, 10 years old or something? It's like, you know, she's got a lot of room to grow. I'm not saying anything against her. I'm saying the writing was bad, and her acting was also not good. And the two of those together just kind of grated on my nerves a little bit. It was there's a child actor. You'll know it when you see it. It's really rough. Like, it's just not a good role in general.
And Marvel always seems
I almost pity this little girl because they didn't really give her anything to work with to begin with. So I guess I can't really blame her because they kind of said, here's some generic kid dialogue. Have fun.
And Marvel usually knocks it out of the park. And there's not a lot of children actors in the Marvel movies. There are some. But Marvel normally does such a good job with that, where this one is kind of like, maybe I would see this girl maybe a step above like a Nickelodeon sitcom, but not by much. And this, again, nothing against her. It was just something where, you know, she was very basic, very bland, very vanilla, however you want to call it, in this movie. And they probably could have done without her in general. I mean, she did one thing in the movie, but it wasn't like,
essential to have her do.
Yeah.
It could easily have been done by anyone.
Yeah, and I mean, it wasn't anything like... I mean, it was important to the movie, but it was something we all saw coming.
Yeah.
You know, when they were having that chat. And... say, we agreed on something on that one.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, nothing against her. Maybe the story wasn't fantastic, but at least for what it was for me, and, you know, back when the MCU first started, I was never the biggest comic book fan at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't go and see all these movies religiously opening weekend like, you know, we do now.
Yeah.
And some of them I didn't see until it came out on DVD or Blu-ray, and this was years later. I mean, it wasn't until just 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago, which I don't think it really matters when I say which one I watched, was Thor Dark World.
That was the one you saw in theaters?
No. Like, 2 or 3 years ago on DVD. I didn't watch it when it was in theaters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, like, everything else since... fudge. I want to say I didn't see... After the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, ever since whatever one was after that, you know, my mind's kind of right now. I've seen all of those in theaters. But everything else, like, I waited until it came out or a friend got it and we sat down and had a movie night. Now it's like we go on Friday nights religiously. Yeah. Now you and I, we go. We're gonna see, you know, next month, two, unless they bump it up like they did last year, 2 months. We're gonna see Endgame. Early next month we'll see Shazam, and then in was it June or July is Far From Home?
Yes,
June, I think June 7th. Yes. Was it. So maybe I'm more biased towards these movies and I'm not as tough on them. And then, you know, I guess I've been spoiled in a way because I've enjoyed so many of the Marvel movies that it's like, winner, well, winner, 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 eh, winner, 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 winner.
And that's my problem. And that's kind of like my primary thing is, so let's say this was like the first Marvel movie or even like the second or third.
Right.
You know, because I mean, shortly in phase one, they had The Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton.
Yes.
Which isn't a horrible movie, but it's definitely the lower echelon of...
It goes right there with Dark World.
Yeah, it's down there as far as, like, the cinematic universe. If Captain Marvel had come out back in 2008, 2009, even 2010, it probably would have been a decent superhero movie. But as the years have gone on... Marvel has set their own standard. Marvel has set their own bar.
Absolutely.
They are the standard setter for superhero movies in theaters right now. And so we've got 11 years of Marvel Cinematic Universe movies under our belts, and this one does not stack up. Even for like a normal Marvel movie, this would not have stacked up. And this is our trump card. This is the movie we were waiting for to find out what was going to happen with the snap. And, like, you know, what was going to happen following Infinity War and leading up to Endgame. She was supposed to be our, I don't know, the savior. This was a big deal. And it just doesn't stack up to a lot of the other films they've made.
No.
This would have been a pretty good superhero movie a decade ago. But by Marvel's own standards, they have kind of dropped in quality. And that's why it's disappointing. Because they can't meet their own lofty bar anymore. At least with this movie. I'm assuming, you know, Endgame's probably going to be great. Far From Home is probably going to be great. But this one did not... Was just... Really wasn't. It's like... You know, and it's like we were saying, within the library of the cinematic universe, it's definitely like, you know, Dark World or Incredible Hulk levels. It doesn't really touch their best movies.
See, for me, it's a little different. Was it the quintessential, oh my God, this is exactly what we need to go against Thanos in Endgame? Probably not. But for me, just being that fan... And going to see these movies, I really did get a kick out of it. It's okay. Not going to be for everybody. I fully will say that. I fully understand. I'm going to say it was good. But then again, there are people out there, you know, telling you, like, you really enjoyed Aquaman. I think the way that you're talking, and I'm not going to compare DC and Marvel here, is the way that I'm talking about Captain Marvel is how you talked about Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. I kind of have the same feeling towards Aquaman as you have towards Captain Marvel, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way that I'm looking at it. That's kind of the way that I feel about it. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I really got a kick out of this. I really like that. I love the setting. I love how it was built in the 90s. You know, and she could blow it away in general in Endgame because, you know, with all the rumors going around with... You know, Robert Downey Jr. wanting to move on, and even though Disney will give him every amount of money that he wants for pretty much building this thing.
Yeah.
Chris Evans obviously wanting to go. I don't know if Chris Hemsworth said anything. He's like, yeah, I'll still do Thor. Or maybe, like, not a full-fledged Thor movie, but making an appearance in other movies.
Which is another scary prospect.
Yes.
Because after the Dark World, they could literally do anything with Thor, and it would be better than Dark World. But then...
They did Ragnarok.
I know. So well, that's what I'm saying. They could have made, you know, like, a Hallmark soap opera with Thor, and it still would have been better than the Dark World. But they didn't. They made the best comedy that Marvel has put out yet.
Absolutely.
Like, and that's, I'm talking, you know, like, Ragnarok is up there with, like, Guardians and stuff as far as, like, because, I mean, you kind of have, like, your comedy Marvel movies and then your, you know, your, like, superhero Marvel movies that also have comedy. Yes. You know, there's kind of a distinction between, like, the funny Marvel movies and, like, just the Marvel movies that have some funny stuff. And Ragnarok, in my opinion, Ragnarok is the like the funniest cinematic universe film.
I'll give you that.
It's just it's such a good time, and it's such a good film, and I feel like with Thor, it was like a, just like a huge redemption for them to have Taika Waititi come do Ragnarok for them. And I'm like, if they can do the same thing with Captain Marvel, I would love that. You know, it's not like I'm not rooting for it. I want Endgame and Captain Marvel to be amazing, but this one just wasn't.
And that's going to kind of lead into the second part that I want to touch on a little bit before we wrap this up, is that we know the next movie coming out is going to be Endgame. When they finish up that season, we know we've got Endgame, and then we've got Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah.
After that, there's nothing really being worked on right now in the Marvel Disney HQ. If they're going to do like a new season or the next phase of the Marvel movies, what would they do with Captain Marvel? She's going to come back.
Yeah.
Are they going to do one like what happened in between Captain Marvel and Endgame, because there is a couple, obviously a handful of years difference. Mm-hmm. Are they just going to pick everything up like right after Endgame? It's kind of one of those things. Like, what, where are they going to go in that direction? Who's going to be around? Who's going to do something?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen next? Which I can definitely see anything happening, really.
Yeah.
But she will need to really put on a show, especially because they might want her to kind of take over as the leader, especially if Iron Man and Captain America leave or they kind of take a step back to kind of take on like more of a mentor role.
Yeah.
You know, anything like that. Captain Marvel is going to essentially lead the next team,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're getting rid of a lot of your A-listers now if Iron Man and Captain America and Thor go, and then you're going to be relying on Spider-Man as long as Marvel and Sony can keep playing nice. You know,
I guess I should put a footnote there.
Yes. Put a footnote down.
The Deadpool movies are the funniest Marvel movies.
Oh, yeah.
But Ragnarok was the funniest of, like, the cinematic universe movies.
That's, yeah. And
just real quick, I didn't want you to think that I was, like, excluding him because I didn't think they were funny.
No.
It's just, I'm kind of thinking, like, cinematic universe right now.
And the thing is, they could do so much coming forward. Obviously, this deal with Disney and Fox is about to wrap up. You know, Tyler. You know. Somewhere in Marvel Disney HQ, hidden in a drawer, locked in a box, guarded by top men. I have to throw a little bit in there just for fun. Guarded by top men, there is a script or two or a few for Fantastic Four. And I'm not going to get off topic on this one for my love for Fantastic Four. But you know that they can bring this in there, and you know that you can have Captain Marvel, Fantastic Four kind of lead the next generation.
Yeah.
And then they're talking about Secret Wars with the Kree, you know, because you know, yeah, maybe something was going on in the movie, but they could definitely do a Secret Wars movie, yeah. I think at least. Or Secret Invasion movie, whatever it was called. And that gets me excited. So, for me personally, was this the quintessential Marvel movie? Was this the, essentially, go-home movie to get us ready for Endgame? No, it wasn't. Could it have been better? Sure. But for what it was, and if I were to put this movie into the base time frame, let's say it's still, well, I mean, it did, we're gonna go with that. It still came out this year, right? But mm-hmm. But if I were to go back and watch them in the order that the timeline is supposed to be, Captain America: The First Avenger, then Captain Marvel, I could say, okay, this works a little better for me rather than watching them in the order that they came out. You know, starting with Iron Man in 08. Down to Captain Marvel in 19.
Right.
Then I can kind of see the differences in why people would be like, oh, what is this? But if people watch them in the timeline, whenever Marvel finishes this up before they just reboot it when we get more Marvel movies until we're all dead, then, yeah, I can see it more, people liking it more if they think about it in that aspect rather than the go-home movie to Endgame,
right.
Personally. And I think that's why I liked it so much more than others, is because that's how I was looking at it in the time frame, way like that.
All right. So, I think we've both made it clear how we felt.
Yes.
We've both made our points about, or at least some of our points. I have a couple other tangents I could go on, but I think I've made it clear the primary problems I had with this film. What number would you give this movie?
All right, so just in general, I have to give it between a 7 and 8. I can't, maybe a 7.5. Because, again, I really enjoyed it. And again, I will say again, was it the go-home movie for Endgame? No. But in terms of storyline, which that's what I look for. You know, I always hate when shows and movies kind of bounce around and, you know, like, doing two things at once, especially in one thing. Like, you know, Walking Dead does it now, and even though the show does need to end, I still enjoy it. But it's like, if you're going to give me a flashback episode, give me one flashback episode of the full thing.
Yeah.
Don't give me part of a flashback now, flashback now. And that's somewhat what this movie did. It's like, start at the beginning, go to here, and then end it.
Okay.
That would have made it better for me, I think, because I don't like how they do that. Other people do, that's fine. But I would say 7.5 in terms of that. But there's just something about the lore of that movie that just really kept me going.
Okay.
So, Tyler, your thoughts.
If Into the Spider-Verse is a perfect 10...
Yes.
This movie is probably a 5 for me.
So just smack dab in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay.
For everything that I liked about the movie, there was something that I equally disliked.
And I'll give you that. And I will say that. And I guess the way that you and I look at movies differently.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know. You were comparing it to the other movies of the time and how good it looked. And yeah, I will say the CG wasn't that good, especially when she was flying around. Mm-hmm. Not what you said. But I was kind of like one shot looking at this as Captain Marvel, the one movie. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit here and compare it to the other ones, how it looked. You know, I'll put it in ones that I would recommend to people, sure. But that's how I was like me and Captain Marvel. How did I like the movie as a whole?
Yeah. Well, and that's the CG, you know, even taking that out of
the equation. No, I agree with you.
Not being, you know, not comparing it to like modern CG, it's like the writing was not great. Some of the acting was not great. It was very predictable.
Yes.
And like that, again, I feel like Marvel kind of ruined that for themselves. There were multiple moments during this movie that I think would have been more fresh if they hadn't already been done by Marvel. Because I think, you know, there was one moment where I was like, that would have been funny if it hadn't been done in Avengers. And then there was another moment where I'm like, that would have been cool if they hadn't already done it in Iron Man. And so on and so forth.
Mm.
And I feel like they kind of ruined their own, like, origin movie by sticking to the beats that they've done in their other Marvel origin movies.
And you know, you go in 11 years now, 20 plus movies.
Yeah.
There's bound to be repeats. And yeah, there were a lot of repeats in this one.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess for me, since I liked it so much in the other movies, that it just kind of went well here with me.
Yeah.
But again, you know, we're kind of like the Siskel and Ebert, is that I look at the movie as a whole, one-on-one, where you look at it as a whole, but also compare it to some of the other ones that are out there, which is fine. That's how people do it. And there's going to be a good amount of people out there that love it. There's going to be a good amount of people out there that hate it. And I'll even say, for as much as I enjoyed it, you know, yeah, they could have done better to get us ready for Endgame. I've said that a million times. Mm-hmm. But in terms of just in general, and the timeline of how you're going to watch these movies. And again, people are going to take these movies like the Star Wars movies. How are you going to watch it? Are you going to watch it in order that they came out? Or are you going to watch it in order of the timeline and how they start to finish?
Yeah.
That is entirely up to the person and how they want to do it. I don't even know how I'm going to do it. I mean, well, I do. The way that I have them, because I, you know, I know you do digitally, Tyler, but I get them physically. Mm-hmm. And the way that they're set up on my wall and my bookshelf is in the order that they take place.
Okay.
You know, I don't have them Iron Man 1, 2, 3, Captain America, Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier is still my favorite. Civil War. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have them like that. I have them in the order that they take place.
Yeah.
And that's how I would probably show them to people, especially if they're... Like you and I, you know, we can hang out for a night. I'm like, yeah, put on, you know, Guardians 2. We'll be fine. But if we're introducing someone to this cinematic universe, and, you know, especially now with how many we have, it'd be easier to start at the beginning and then move their way forward. You know, I don't want to start with just, oh, watch Guardians 2 or watch Guardians and Guardians 2.
Yeah.
Let's watch them in order. Mm-hmm. You know, at least to me, that's how it should be done. But again, other people don't want to do that. That's fine. It's entirely up to you guys. So I'm going to stick with the 7.5. I'm going to stick with that. I enjoyed it. I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to get it the day it comes out. Probably watch it again. I'm going to say this movie still made me excited for any of it, if you can't even get me even more excited for it, for this four-hour fest of despair that we're going to sit through.
And I'm going to say... Into the Spider-Verse is out now. You should watch that instead.
You should definitely watch that, too. Because it was a very, very good movie. Was it better than this? Yeah. But that's all I got to say, Tyler. We've been talking about this for like 45-plus minutes.
I know. Normally we split them up so that they're only like 20 to 30-minute episodes. We haven't even switched topics. This has been one topic.
This is just one topic. So if we talk about this for 45 minutes, I imagine how long we're talking about Endgame for.
Like 5 minutes.
Probably. Yeah, it was good to watch it. You've seen it already. So, anyway, guys, that's all I have. Tyler, do you have anything else that you'd like to add? You're leaning up. You're ready to go.
I don't think I have anything to add to this. I am excited for the new slate, though. We've got, you know, Shazam coming. We've got Endgame coming. We've got Far From Home coming. DC hired James Gunn to do Suicide Squad.
Will Smith is not going to be Deadshot anymore.
So now we're going to get a really good Suicide Squad, and Disney's going to feel real bad because maybe we're going to get like a Guardians 3 that's going to dip in quality, and we're going to get a Suicide Squad 2 that goes way up.
Which supposedly Disney and Marvel are going to use James Gunn's original script for Guardians 3.
Man, I hope so.
But it's like, just get the damn... Just get James Gunn back. It's okay. It was years ago that he did that. And it's like...
He made a mistake. He knows that. He apologized
for it. Robert Downey Jr. made a mistake. And look at him now. Yeah. He's the reason why you have an MCU, Disney. Wake up. Anyway, guys. I got to go to work, Tyler. Thank you so much for watching, everyone. We'll be back in the next week or so when we pull some more topics together. Like, comment, subscribe. Leave, follow us on every social media platform available. And we'll talk to you guys very soon. So thanks a lot, guys.
See ya.
See ya.